Just remember this phrase, validation is more important than truth at the moment. So whenever your wife brings something to you, validation first. She comes and says, hey, Mike, quit. You know, it'd be nice if you quit leaving your dishes in the sink and get them in the dishwasher. It's only a foot away from the sink. You know, no matter if she says it well or not.
I've said those exact words to my wife, by the way. So
perfect. So maybe I need to be talking to your wife.
That's so funny.
But at that moment, don't respond with your truth, because your truth may be, I picked up three of your dishes yesterday. Your truth might be, you leave clothes all over the bathroom floor and I never say anything. Your truth might be, you know, because when you respond with truth, you invalidate the other person. And at some point, if you continue to do that, they will learn it's not worth bringing something to my spouse, because all they're going to do is respond with all the stuff I do wrong. And so we quit bringing stuff to each other. So just validate.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Welcome back, guys. My name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host, along with my co-host, best-selling author Chris Bollinger. I wonder if I have to start introducing myself as an author now that I have a book coming out. I wonder. But it just doesn't sound as good as best-selling author. I mean, I'm not there yet. Anyway, Chris is, so we have one best-selling author, even though we're both authors now. So we're excited to have you. Welcome. Hey, especially if you're joining us for the first time, if you haven't listened before, a warm welcome to you. Really, really grateful you came to check us out. And today, we are speaking, once again, this is the second half of our interview with Eric Wooten, who has a ministry, he and his wife Jill, called Altered Marriage. In our last interview, we heard Eric's fence post story and the story behind he and Jill and their marriage and what led them to start Altered Marriage. Now, today, we're going to talk about several things that I think are really, really critical. And man, did this hit me. This really hit me. Obviously, you'll see that. But as you heard in the intro, we talk about validation and the significance of validation in a relationship. We also talk a little bit about submitting to the lordship of Christ and how many of our issues in marriage are because of our lack of submitting to the leadership of Christ in our marriage. We talk about the intentionality needed in our marriage. And then we kind of circle back around again and finish up somewhat where we started, with reaffirming the significance of community in our marriage, and what that means, be connected to community there as a married couple. So, man, this is such a good interview. Eric is incredible. So make sure you check out their ministry at Altered Marriage. And I believe, alteredmarriage.com. Make sure you go there and check it out and reach out to him. Of course, at the end of this interview, he'll give you more details about how to connect with him. All right. Hey, if you are interested in CLC, we would love to talk to you. You can email me at mhatch@clchq.org. It would be our pleasure to come alongside of you and help you figure out your men's discipleship strategy. That's what we do. And what I like to say this all the time, what CLC does better than just any other curriculum that I've ever seen that is men's ministry or men's discipleship, is that it helps tremendously to facilitate relationships within the discipleship groups. Often in church world, you get the Christian education side, and then you've got the fellowship side, and it's the difficulty is getting those two to come together and have true relational discipleship take place. And man, CLC is amazing at that. So reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you about that. Lastly, remember my book, as I mentioned already, Manhood, Empowered by the Light of the Gospel, is available for pre-order on Amazon. However, I got a text from a friend who said he actually received his book from Amazon already, which is kind of crazy because I'm recording this on March 16th. So you may, if you've pre-ordered it, maybe you got it early before the official release date on April 4th, and that's great. But just know that the digital course that accompanies that will be live starting April 4th. So just wanted to make that clear because I designed this book to be accompanied by the digital course where I get to walk you through the book chapter by chapter and just begin to help you process the discussion questions at the end of every chapter and maybe figure out some ways to apply the content to your own life. And then I also offer a ton of resources just help you take next steps. So again, my book is on Amazon.com. You can also go to two episodes previous to this where I read the introduction and first chapter of the book just to get a taste of what it's about. All right, guys, so let's dive in now. Here is the second half of our interview with Eric Wooten. But real quick, with regard to what you just said there, though, Eric, one of the things that I know has been challenging for me in that situation is not necessarily that it's just a situation that needs a solution to it, but instead, maybe my wife is sharing something with me and I don't agree with how she, maybe the situation played out, how her role in it. And I feel like in some ways she needs to do things differently or interact with whatever the situation is differently. For me, I find it especially hard to empathize with her in situations where I feel like, well, what did you expect? Like you act like that and someone's going to treat you like this. I can offend her by saying, you know, going down that road, you know?
Yeah. Shame on you, Mike.
That's true.
I feel like we kind of joked about this pre-show, but I feel like we're moving. I think I called it Olympic level skills. You know, I feel like we're running up the ring of higher and higher skill level. And it's not so much even a skill level as much as just learn responses on some sense. So I would say this. One of the keys to relationship is something called validation. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about, Mike. How do I validate you when I disagree with you?
Yes.
So I think you actually kind of brought up two different paths, Mike. One is how do I empathize with something that is not going to elicit the same feeling from me? That's one side.
Yes.
The other side is validate. So on the empathy side, I would just say this real quick. It is often hard to empathize if the thing you're trying to empathize with does not elicit the same response in you. So for instance, some people love feedback. Like, oh, I came from a family, man. We just give it to each other. I love feedback. I love growing. And then they marry somebody who is just devastated by the constant criticism, right? Mm-hmm. And so I may not be able to empathize with the fact that my wife's boss gave her some negative feedback and it has just ruined her week. Cause I'm like, dude, you should want feedback. That's awesome. I would never care. But I can usually find something in my life that has elicited the same level of response for me. You know, when, you know, Mike in high school disrespected me by, you know, clowning me in front of the girl, whatever it is. So sometimes empathy is not about, we always say putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Sometimes I put myself in your shoes and I'm like, it's not a big deal. It shouldn't bother you at all. So sometimes I have to put myself in your shoes by putting myself in a situation I've had that reminds me of that. I felt like you're feeling now when XYZ happened to me. Just so I can empathize with the feeling. And so I think that that's one thing we've got to get better at. It's like, yeah, your situation, I can't empathize with the feelings you're feeling. But those feelings I've had over here, and man, I'm sorry you're dealing with that. That sucks, right? So that's the empathy side. Validation, you do not have to agree with somebody to validate them. And part of the problem we have, both with going back to what Chris said, when we offer a solution, or sometimes when we do what you said, Mike, which is I correct her. Well, maybe, you know, maybe your boss did XYZ because, I mean, you have been late a couple times this week. And right. I know that one thing they asked you to do, you didn't really want to do. So maybe when you do that, you invalidate the person. And there's nothing worse than feeling invalidated. And so you can, for instance, let's say you, Mike, you and I had an interaction and you felt hurt and, you know, I'm sarcastic all the time, which is true. And so I made some comments and you thought they were rude. But the way you presented it to me, you were like, you know, when you called me an idiot and that just wasn't cool. I may be sitting here thinking, I don't think I ever used the word idiot. I'm not sure that the situation went down the way you said the situation went. That's normally our response, right? Is to come back with our truth.
Yes.
But I can validate you by saying, That makes sense. If you felt like, you know, our interaction went down like that, I can see how you were hurt. Now, I don't agree with 90% of what you just said, Mike. I didn't call you an idiot. I said you did a dumb thing. That's different. You know, I can go through all the nuances, but I can still validate you and say, hey, that makes sense. You know, I didn't want you to feel that way. I'm sorry you felt that way based on, you know, how you felt that went. I can imagine that hurt. So I'm sorry for that.
Ooh, that's super helpful.
But that's why I say this. If men could get this, I promise this, I'm giving my best stuff right here. I may have to invoice all the men. If a man came to me and said, give me one thing, one skill I can practice that will change my marriage, I would say it's the validation piece. Just remember this phrase, validation is more important than truth at the moment. So whenever your wife brings something to you, validation first. She comes and says, hey, Mike, quit. You know, it'd be nice if you quit leaving your dishes in the sink and get them in the dishwasher. It's only a foot away from the sink. You know, no matter if she says it well or not.
I've said those exact words to my wife, by the way. So
perfect. So maybe I need to be talking to your wife.
That's so funny.
But at that moment, don't respond with your truth, because your truth may be, I picked up 3 of your dishes yesterday. Your truth might be, you leave clothes all over the bathroom floor and I never say anything. Your truth might be, you know, because when you respond with truth, you invalidate the other person. And at some point, if you continue to do that, they will learn it's not worth bringing something to my spouse. Because all they're going to do is respond with all the stuff I do wrong. And so we quit bringing stuff to each other. So just validate. Yeah, my bad. I'm going to work on the dishes. Now, this is, the truth does matter.
Yeah.
The truth isn't, because most people can't do this because their fear is if I don't tell them the truth, they're going to think their perspective's right, or they're going to continue. The truth matters, just not in the moment. So later that night, the next day, bring it up. Hey, you know, yesterday when you mentioned about me leaving the dishes in the sink, I get it. I'm going to work on that. But it's also frustrating to me because I feel like you do it a lot and I don't really say anything. And so that was a little frustrating to me. Your wife is going to be much more receptive of your truth at a different time. It also will not serve as an invalidating response to her in the moment. So you validated her in the moment, which is going to make her way more receptive to hear your truth in another time. And so I think if I had to pick one skill for all couples to learn, it'd be like, just learn to validate you. And that's why, you know, when I start talking about intentionality, I suggest couples have a weekly staff meeting and just all kinds of different stuff. But when you've got a weekly staff meeting or a regular time where you know you both sit down to talk about the marriage, to talk about logistics, I can sit on my truth because I know we always have a time to talk about it. And most of the times, the only reason I won't sit on my truth is because, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this opportunity again. Right. And so something like a staff meeting, you know what? I can take the L right now and just validate. Because 2 days from now, I know we're going to talk about a relationship. And so I just make a note and bring it up then. So yeah, validation, I think, is a underused, little known, but super effective relationship tool that everybody just needs to get good at.
And so is intentionality. I mean, that's the perfect segue, Eric, because I've been sitting here for about 20 minutes waiting to get into intentionality. I mean, it's been great, right? But, you know, I've got it on my list, and I'm a list guy. Yeah,
just cut me off. I'm not offended.
But, I mean, you know, I was just thinking before you said that if you just wait and then you bring up your, you know, issue whenever it is, then you're just dropping bombs, right? You're just throwing bombs. And so your wife never knows when you're going to throw the bomb. You were great yesterday when she brought up the sink issue, but you were just waiting for your opportunity to throw a bomb. So, yeah, I mean, intentionality sounds perfect. And I think, as you said earlier, it's greatly underutilized, right? And that's, you know, when you said when couples come to you, there's usually two issues, right? It's intentionality and it's managing differences. And we talked about this a long time ago on a podcast when couples, Christian couples, are having major issues. We talked about how for most people, the pastor, the people in the small group, you know, people at church, people are usually blindsided because they appear to be doing everything right. I mean, there's very little difference between, you know, let's say a healthy marriage and an unhealthy marriage or a struggling marriage. When you look at, are they going to church on Sunday? Are they in a small group? Are they active in ministry? I mean, across the board, there's almost no difference. So it sounds like the intentionality at home is maybe what's really lacking, because the intentionality, the visible Christian intentionality appears to be intact. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, we may be going down too far of a rabbit hole with the Christian facade of doing the outward acts, but the heart's not changed. You know, I mean, from my experience, having counseled in the church for, you know, more than a decade, very few individuals are fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mean, we wouldn't Amen. Be having the conversations we're having. That's why, you know, so many couples that I would counsel in church, you know, with, hey, are we gonna pray first? You know, it's almost like they have learned to come in wanting a prayer and a Bible verse. And I'm like, if you are surrendered to Jesus, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. What is me giving you another Bible verse gonna help right now? Because you're not submitted to the, I mean, if I'm fully submitted to Christ, we're not having a whole lot of marriage issues if I just read through the New Testament, right? Think not of the interest of yourself, but of the interest of others, right? Yeah, I mean, it's not about me. So none of the issues I'm presenting are really going to come up because I've taken up my cross. I've died to self. And I think a lot of people look like they have this outward, because that's intentional on some level, showing up to church and being in a small group. But again, if our small group doesn't actually talk about the issues at hand, we're playing a game. People are wearing masks. I mean, I've never had the energy for a small group that's just about getting together. You know, my small group is somebody's going to walk in and say, any given week, hey, you know, we're struggling this week. You know, I've grabbed my husband's phone and there was some chats with some women on Facebook. And okay, let's talk about that. I mean, that's the kind of small groups that we've been a part of, because I don't have time to just play a game. Like, we're going to dig in.
I think your small groups are unusual, though. I mean, I've been in small groups pretty much my whole adult life, and I've had a couple that were that way, but a lot of them have not been that way.
And I think that's the maybe more of a testament to what we're not doing well in the church as far as establishing clear criteria for what these are supposed to look like, and then picking leaders.
Right.
Because obviously it's going to rise and fall on the leaders, because I've led most all of these small groups. So when we kick off a new small group, guess what I'm saying? First session, this is what we're about, and let me start. And once you open the floodgates, people are like, oh, okay. I think that, I don't know if that answered your question, Chris, but I think the people have the outward appearance of doing the right things, but at home are probably not real intentional with what they need to be doing as a couple.
Well, I think, I mean, you mentioned even yourself. I mean, you could have done some things better in your marriage early on, right? I mean, you got busy. We talked about how, you know, people get busy, other things take priority. And yeah, of course, it's not what we want. But I think if you can start to establish those touch points, like you said, you know, a business meeting. But I think more important than that, you know, other ways of getting together. I mean, you know, having a couple's devotional, if not every day, then once a week, you know, just setting aside that time where you're being together and you're focusing on praying for each other. I mean, a lot of Christian couples just don't do it. I mean, maybe their marriage is okay, but they just don't do it.
Yeah. No, I find a lack of intentionality around being real specific on when we're doing what.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so just as an intentionality with a lot of couples, where I'll start with them is I suggest do a weekly staff meeting, do a weekly date night, and two, I call them quick connections, a couple times a week, you know, 15 minutes, but the focus of the quick connections is simply on connecting. So we're not talking about it's the same thing with date night. We're not talking about anything that could go sideways. We're not resolving conflict. We're not problem solving. This is solely for connection. So in fact, I got an email last night that I read from a couple I met, and that was some of the stuff we started. And she emailed back and said, hey, you know, when my husband's home, not on the road, we've been real intentional with in the evening playing games together, watching TV shows, just connecting. Things are going great. You know, now we think we'd like to get back with you and start resolving some of the stuff that we know is still there. Because I'll usually tell couples, you know, you're trying to resolve conflict and you're not connected. That's right. A recipe for disaster. Like, if I don't even like you right now because we're not connected, what's my motivation to extend grace and forgiveness and work hard? And so, so I think a couple quick connections, whether it's a devotional, playing a game together, watching a favorite TV show, downloading question cards off of the internet that just we pull two couples question cards and answer whatever's on the card just to facilitate that emotional connection. And, you know, a date night, a longer period of time together, and then a staff meeting, a time where, hey, we're going to, it's almost, I think Dave Ramsey, you know, Mr. Budget says, if you don't tell your money where to go, you know, it kind of just disappears. And so I think it's the same thing with our interactions in marriage. If we don't determine when are we getting together for business, logistical talk, difficult conversations, and when are we getting together solely for enjoyment and fun, the business side just takes over the whole marriage. And that's why, you know, like you say, you got one who loves conflict and wants to resolve stuff. They're going to bring it up every night, Tuesday night after dinner. Hey, I want to talk to you about an issue. And you've just ruined Tuesday night. And you do that every night, we're not connecting. So it's kind of like, sit on your issue. Save it for staff meeting. Tuesday and Thursday nights are purely for connection, fun. I mean, I'm 28 years into marriage. We still got issues. Do I want to work on it every day? Absolutely not. I want to have fun. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, especially if I'm playing the long game. Yeah, we got issues, but how about this week? Let's just pretend like we're on vacation somewhere. If we were on a beach in Mexico, we wouldn't be talking about our issues. We'd just be having fun. Mm-hmm. So I think give yourself a vacation, you know, throughout the week. Just let's enjoy each other and let's talk about our parenting issues next week. They'll still be there. So just being real intentional about when are our moments for connection? When are our moments for difficult conversations and conflict? And being real intentional about when we do which. So the fun side is like the gentleman who's going to stand against the wall and wait for you to invite it in. And the business side, the conflict side, the problem solving side is going to, you know, kick in the door and force its way in. Somebody's got to take the kids to school. Somebody's got to pay the mortgage. Like you can't avoid that. You can't ignore the connection, the fun, the emotional intimacy for years on end. And eventually you find yourself in a bad place, but day to day, it's not going to penalize you. So,
man, that's really, really good. That was definitely worth the price of admission, Eric. So
we're charging for this podcast.
It's going to be a special podcast. We should. So
premium members only.
So Eric, I was on your website and I want to ask you a little bit about the ministry that you guys do and what it looks like to kind of be involved. Yeah. What are the ways to be involved in what you're doing? And I was just looking, I'm really impressed. So, you know, under alteredmarriage.com connect, folks can go in there, fill out a quick connect form. And in doing so, they can get a free download of a fail-proof guide to intimacy, which looks fantastic. So that's one really quick, easy, I know, way that people can get involved. But then you've got these other amazing resources. So I knew about the YouTube channel, Relation Shots, which has been really successful. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thanks, yeah.
And then, but I didn't know you had this podcast, which I think is hilarious. I think this is a genius idea. It's called Relation Shop. And it's you and two other folks who are, you're talking about, it says, relationships seen on reality TV and throughout pop culture to provide good relationship advice that works. You discuss those relationships.
It's funny. We've morphed over the years. We've probably been doing it. I think we're 200 episodes in or something. But we used to do a ton of, we'd talk about a lot of the like Married at First Sight and 90 Day Fiance and stuff like that. We've kind of gotten away from that now.
Okay.
It's just fun because I just like joking and making fun of them. So it's some quality topics mixed with you know, just some fun and lightheartedness. So
I love that. But yeah, if somebody was thinking, okay, what are the options of working with you guys? Kind of, if you would,
yeah,
I think what
you said, Mike, is the best. You jump on the website, and I've got a free guide to intimacy, and going back to intentionality, it's a little booklet, and it covers emotional, spiritual, recreational, and physical intimacy. Gives some ideas on how to be real intentional and set up a plan and make sure you're you know, working on those areas. So that's the easiest way, because you know, now you're on the email list and you know what's coming up and that kind of stuff. So I do like a 4-week Zoom marriage class a few times a year, and so that's always an opportunity for somebody, a couple, to jump in and be real intentional, mm-hmm. again in a small group community for 4 weeks to work on their marriage. We have a marriage membership community, which is a great place for not only get access to videos with myself, me and my wife, me and other relationship experts on all kinds of different topics. Most of them have worksheets that go along with the video that, again, couples can be intentional. And then we have a whole community where couples can talk with each other. We've got separate wives and husbands areas where the wives can chat with each other and get support. The husbands can. We do live Zoom calls. So I do a monthly live Zoom call for couples. I've got a gal that does a ladies' night once a month. I do a men's night. So some live interaction opportunities, some resources, other ways to connect with couples, just trying to create community so couples can be supported in there. I do 4-day retreats. So my next retreat's coming up April 2023 in Cabo. And so that's limited to 8 to 10 couples. And so this one, I've got a sex therapist coming with me. And so it is specifically for intimacy, but more specifically sexual intimacy. The sex therapist, super sharp. Great Christian lady that's just dynamic with really, you know, one of the areas that a lot of couples struggle to talk about, let alone manage desire discrepancies and trauma and all the other stuff that comes into it. And then counseling. And so, mm-hmm. and I've got an online communication course. So just a number of, either do it yourself resources or getting involved in community and some live interactive stuff. But yeah, you'll notice obviously the theme running through the retreats and the classes and the membership is community. Cause again, mm-hmm. I believe, you know, that's why I do the retreats. I think when you get 8 couples and you get away from life and you really focus in, and they leave with lifelong friends. And, you know, I tell people at the start of those retreats, you'll probably gain as much knowledge and wisdom from the side conversations as you do from, you know, the expert up here teaching you anything. And it always proves true. There's nothing more powerful than listening to somebody across the table talk about their situation where you're head nodding the whole time. Like, that's me, that's me, that's me. And so, yeah, you know, obviously counseling is what I like least, and not because I don't like working with couples, but because there's no community mm-hmm. and it's me with the two of you and mm-hmm. it's effective. And I think there are certain issues where it makes sense to do that, but I'm more of a let's counsel periodically and let me get you in community. And then let's just touch base when we're really stuck. Let me help you get unstuck when you're really stuck. But I really want you in community long term, because I just believe it's a lot more effective than one-on-one marriage counseling is.
I love that approach, especially as a pastor. Oh my goodness, I love that approach that you get them in the community first and then deal with the hard stuff in the counseling. Man. I think a lot of pastors and churches tend to get that backwards, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people get it backwards. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that just come to me for counseling. Mm-hmm. But I'm always pushing them to, you guys know what you need. And it's going to be pretty expensive for you just to meet with me every week for the next 8 months.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, there's a part of me, I almost want to make one-on-one counseling with me so expensive it's not feasible.
Yeah.
just to force you to where I really know you need to be. Again, I think there are some select things that count. So I'm cool with you coming to counseling first because the house is on fire and we need to figure out some stuff right now. And the community is going to take longer to get you there. So let me put out the fire. Let me stabilize the ship but let me get you in community, because long term, that's what you need, and that's what's going to keep you going. And then once you're in community, we can do periodic, you know, follow ups when there's a heavy issue and we need to, you know, a little more insight than somebody else may give you.
That's fantastic. All right, so we're coming up on our time here, but Chris, we have a little bit extra time. Do you have anything else? Any other questions or you know? Burning questions from your notes.
Well, I could go for hours, but I know. No, this has been great. I really have. I mean, it's been so many great insights, and I mean, I don't have anything burning.
Chris is just frustrated. He's got to go validate.
Exactly. What I've really enjoyed is that it's spoken to me intellectually, but it's also, I mean, it's resonated with me emotionally. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done so many things wrong in marriage. And you know, I have my patterns that, you know, you've kind of exposed just in our conversation, but it's great for me to realize it's always nice when there's two things, you know, there's two or three things, because then I can get my head around it.
Right.
And, you know, I can always do a better job of intentionality. I can stop throwing bombs. I can stop, you know, I'm not going to have another chance to do this, so I'm going to say it, you know, I need to stop doing that. But, you know, the managing differences thing was really good for me because, you know, I have to reckon with that. I have to come to grips with that. And I think for me, the positive, encouraging thing is the celebration aspect of it. You know, I didn't want to marry myself, right? I married somebody who's different. I mean, Lord, part of me, would like to marry myself, but it would be a total disaster eventually. Yeah. So just being able to celebrate somebody who's different and to, you know, and not everything has to be a problem. Right. I mean, it's a chance to see somebody who approaches things differently than I do and to recognize that sometimes that's fantastic. Sometimes it's challenging, absolutely, but sometimes it's fantastic. It grows me.
Yeah. I think what you touched on is key. Can we celebrate our differences? Then let's do that as much as we can. Yeah. And when the differences are too painful, frustrating, that's when I would say close the gap. What does it look like to accommodate each other? Just a little movement, because it's amazing. A little movement is not going to resolve the gap, but it sure does speak to the fact that you value me, right? Mm-hmm. Like just the saver spender issue. You know, we're just taking the big obvious ones, saver spender issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if I'm not the saver, but my wife really loves to save, I can step towards her. Hey, you know what? I'm going to cut out Starbucks once a week. Now that only translates to $20 a month, $5 a week, but it's a movement towards you that says, I'm doing this because I value you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that goes a lot further than just the act. Same thing. If my wife's the saver and I love going out to eat because I love the experience we have, and she doesn't want to because it costs more, she can step towards me. Hey, why don't we, I'll commit to going out to eat with you twice a month. Not a big movement, but, and so it's like celebrate when you can. And when it's, you know, too painful and frustrating, close the gap a little, take a step towards each other. And it goes a long way.
So good. Yeah. For me, it was, we don't need to agree with someone in order to validate someone. I mm-hmm. need to remember that validation is more important than the truth in some of those moments where
in the moment. Yeah. Right. Not universally in the moment, because if you don't, you invalidate and you're never going to get where you're trying to go.
Well, it's interesting because we, you know, it's so interesting. So we've got these family values, three of them specifically that we kind of focus on. We love people and value relationships. We walk in the light and embrace truth. And then we live to be a blessing as ambassadors of Christ. But it's interesting, as I think about that, there's a reason that I think we should put that first one first. People, valuing relationships, loving others, because you can really trounce someone with the truth. You can really
pound
them. And-
I, I've a good friend who's he's a psychologist, has a whole psychology group. I think he's the one that told me this once. He said, you can be factually right and relationally wrong.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, yeah, what you're responding with is factually right, but you're also squashing the other person. You're invalidating them. And it's just like with our kids, right? Every moment cannot be a teaching moment, right? There are times when, yes, my daughter should have her room clean. She should have had her homework done in order for me to take her out to ice cream or Starbucks. But she didn't. And I'm not saying all the time, because rules and consequences are healthy. But every once in a while, I just need to scrap what's right and say, you and I need to connect. Let's go get ice cream. It's not the end of the world. You haven't done what you were supposed to do, because it's too easy to have every interaction with your kid be in a teaching moment. You shouldn't leave your shoes there, and you didn't clean the dishes all the way, and you didn't put the stuff back right. And then at some point, we've got no relationship. We're factually right, but we've got no relationship. And so, yeah, we got to focus on the relationship and not always feel like we, and that's easier for some people, obviously, personality wise. Some people are more predisposed to love relationship, and other people are more predisposed to want justice fairness and rightness. And so for those people who are the fairness, rightness, justice people, you got to do a little more work to go, oh man, this is real hard to overlook the injustice and unrightness of what's going on just to connect with my spouse. But I think we've got to focus on that at times for the sake of the relationship.
Because ultimately,
well, and I think,
sorry, go ahead.
Me as a person who always wants to be right, I think there are times I'm being a little facetious, but I think sometimes you have to question the importance or the value of truth. You know, now if it's something fundamental or strategic, as I would say, then yeah, I mean, you need to deal with it. But
sure,
for somebody like me, I mean, sometimes it's just not that important. You know, I just need to let it go.
It's biblical to overlook an offense.
Yes. Right. I love that proverb. Yes.
And again, if you have a staff meeting every week, you already know you have a time at 7 p.m. on Sunday that we're going to sit down and we're going to evaluate our relationship. We're going to talk about the upcoming week. We're going to talk about the budget. I can overlook an offense on Thursday night, knowing that if it's still bugging me on Sunday, I'm going to bring it up again. I may get to Sunday and go, that wasn't even a big deal. I was just tired and hungry. And but if it's still there, I can bring it up because I know we have a time. Like, the mystery is gone from, I don't know when to bring this up, and I don't want to ruin Monday night, and this isn't a good moment. And so, I think, again, going back to intentionality, opens up our relationship to allow us to behave in more positive ways because we know we have some specific times for things to happen. So,
man. Holy cow, Eric, I could go for another hour or two here. That's for sure. Hey, thank you so much for this.
We can always do it again. Lord willing that we're all still alive and kicking, we can do it again.
Amen. I think that would be amazing. Do we miss anything in terms of how folks can reach out to you and connect with you? I know we talked about your website and some of the other
stuff. Yeah, I think the easiest thing is the website. Yeah, okay. If you want free content, go to YouTube. And again, you can find that on the website. Relationshots is the YouTube channel. But if you just jump on the website, you'll see that free guide to intimacy. Download that, and you'll get a bunch of other stuff too. So that's a great starting point, because I obviously follow up with my email sequences and all the business side of it, but really my goal is to resource people. So they'll get some other good resources and tools and information on how to strengthen their relationship if they want to. So that's the easiest way.
Man. Well, thank you so much. This has been really, really good. Great conversation.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Before we let you go, let me pray for you as we head out here.
Absolutely.
God, thank you so much for Eric and for Jill and their ministry, God, to so many couples around the world, Father. We entrust them to you now and pray for your continued protection and provision in their ministry, in their marriage, in their family, God. Thank you, Lord, for Eric's authenticity and his no-nonsense approach, God. I'm grateful for that, and it just resonates with me and I know with so many other men. Lord, I pray that you would use both of them in their ministry to so many couples, Lord, for your redemptive purposes. And so we entrust them into your hands, God, knowing you are good and you are faithful. We praise you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.